Thank
Hi.
you. Okay. Now, hi everyone. I am Victoria. I am a compulsive overeater
Hi,
and I'm
Victoria.
recovering bulimic. Please bear with me. I am hot because I am nervous and
Oh, I'm Victoria.
I'm standing and
Do you
I'm
want
in pain. Huh?
the air on?
Oh, yes, that would be nice. Thank you. Okay, so see, what was it like before a program? So let me start off by saying, before program, let me say that I first started off being teased when I was younger. I was chubby. My parents got divorced. My sister right away, at 9 years old, became diabetic, type A or type one, and so everything just kind of exploded. My mother, my sister, and I, we moved into my grandparents' house that was full of my mom's 11 brothers and sisters. And the majority of them were young. It was a big house, but there was still a lot of them. And they were teenagers. They were young. So they were, and we were 8 and 9 and 7 and, around that age. And so I was the youngest. My grandmother fed us all the time. We're Latinos. And so, love equals food. Food equals love. So during the time I was stressed with everything and I ate a lot. My grandma fed me a lot and I became chubby. And so the teasing started. And I don't know about other cultures, but with our culture, we tend to tease about we figure out, the insecurities and then we strike, and that's just what it was. That's how I was taught. That was funny. So that's how it started. So I was teased horrifically, constantly. I was the one that was picked on, and so that's how I was raised, and so that became a big factor in my life. The weight, the heaviness, the look, and how it equated to everything awful in life, stupidity, ugly, everything, And then after that came the eating disorder. And I didn't recognize that I had the eating disorder, bulimia, until I was in my 20s. I realized I started in high school. And I thought, well, I can stop. I think I could stop. And I thought, okay, just one few more, maybe just a few more months. And then it became a few more years. And then I stopped for a second. I thought, okay, good, I'm handling this. And then one thing exploded, like, let's, something like the shit hit the fan. And then, well, let me soothe myself by, purging, and that then it became a cushion to go to, something that was actually comforting to me, which kind of sounds sick, but it became something that I went to. I went to the food and then I went to the purging and then I was fine. It all kind of fell together. During that time, why things started to feel like they were falling apart is because my mental stability was falling apart. At an early age, I didn't know, and neither did my parents, but my mental stability at 5, I could go back now, was diminishing because at that point was the first time I had tried to end my life at 5. And as time grew, another time was when I was in high school. And then as I got older, I realized, okay, I need help. I started seeking therapy, and but I didn't tell them about my eating disorder. I was too embarrassed. I didn't think that had anything to do with it. My mental eating disorder, mentality and food, no connection. So I didn't say anything about my eating disorder. Years passed. Okay, fine. I kind of have an eating problem, but it has nothing to do with my mental problem. It's just a thing that's going on. I just want to lose a little weight. No big deal. So now I'm on medication, and well, actually, let me back up. Another thing comes up. I start to see things. Psychosis starts to come in. So now I'm seeing things, I'm hearing things, I'm smelling things, and so my mental instability becomes a little harsher. And so psychosis kicks in, depression is strong. it's just kind of spiraling down, and so is my eating disorder. I'm still not saying much about my eating disorder. I'm saying no, I'm just purging because I want to not serve, but not be alive anymore. That's why. Not because I want to be thin, not because I want to fit the societal norm, not because I want to look like what society says I'm supposed to look like, not because I want to fit in, because I want to look smart, look beautiful, look like I'm worth anything, like I'm worth anything, some kind of importance. I didn't want to admit that I was being suckered into believing what the media was telling me. I didn't want to be that fool, I thought. So I wasn't getting better. I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. So I was dealing with my mental instability, and I was dealing with my physical health too, because back up again, at the age of 8, I started to have hip problems. My mother took me to the doctor up until 15, from 8 to 15, over and over again. They had no idea what was wrong with my hips until I reached the age of 15. At 15, they said I had some disconfiguration in the growth process of my hips, and they needed to reconstruct it. So what they did in high school, they first did my right hip, reconstructed it. I was off of my hip for about 6 months. My early 20s, they did my left. Long story short, I've had five surgeries on my hips
Wow.
throughout my life. And as the years went on, I later on found out that I got cancer in my hand. That's when I found my first husband, my only husband, my husband. When I found my husband. So we were dating, and I found out I had cancer, and we had already planned our wedding. And the amputation of my fingers because of the cancer was 6 months before my wedding.
Oh,
So going through all of this, at one point throughout that time in my 30s, I realized, okay, it's the eating disorder. Things aren't falling together. I've been in therapy for about over 20 some years. Something is not clicking. I've tried diets. I've tried everything. Weight Watchers. I've tried expensive gyms, expensive gym equipment that is just now laying lovely and stiff in the and rusty in the side of my house, the little alley in the side of my house, covered with, bags. And it's just like I spent all this money. It's like, and I still have the same problem. Nothing's different. Nothing's changed. I haven't lost weight. I haven't, I'm still a big wreck. And finally, I'm introduced to program. And I think I've tried everything else. Let me do this, because I had been in a previous program. And I thought, okay, this is helping me with that, with these issues, with these mental issues. I wonder if this could help me with my eating mental issues, because that seems to be the biggest problem in my life. I seem to have my mental issues like the depression and the psychosis down. I got that medication and that settled. But the thing that's driving me nuts the most, not the constant pain that I'm in, that I've been in chronic pain since I was 8, up until now, I'm still in pain. But the eating disorder has been the compulsive eating, the food has been the bane in my existence. It's been the worst thing since everything that I've experienced, since the cancer, since the nine surgeries. I've had three surgeries on my hand. I've had one surgery on my foot, five surgeries on my hips. And the worst thing that I would say, okay, God, you could leave this one out. You could leave out the food. The food, I'll keep, take my hips apart, rearrange my body. Just leave out the food issue. My God, that's been the worst. It's been the worst. You know what? I don't mind seeing things coming out from the walls. I don't mind smelling feces coming from the flowers. I don't mind the ridiculous things that I see. I just don't give me the food. And that's been the hardest thing to to tackle. And now I'm in OA, and I finally hear my people. I finally have found where I belong. And it was such a breath of fresh air to find you guys. Oh my God. And I didn't stop coming. I just knew I had gone everywhere. I had tried everywhere, and I did not fit in. I did not click with anyone. I did not relate to anyone. No one in my life, I've never found anyone in my life that I've ever related to the most until I met you guys. And it began from there. And as OA began, I realized, okay, I need a higher power. And with my other program, I thought, oh well, I have my old higher power from when I grew up, and I'll just use that one. But I didn't really have a full trust in that one. I feel like that one in my head that I had that was built up for me, kind of disappointed me. So I learned in these rooms that I could build the one that would work for me, that I can bond with, that I can pray to and believe in, and that I could feel nurtured by. And recently, I feel like that's what I've been able to do. The past couple of years I've been able to do that, and it's been just so amazing. I finally found my higher power, the one that worked for me. And it's funny because the other day, I well, not the other day, about a few months ago, I started this ritual in the morning where I wake up early in the morning and I go outside and I take off my shoes and I stand on my grass. Well, my AstroTurf. And I try to connect with the earth. And as the sun is rising, I raising my hands up, and I start to pray. I start to pray the seventh step prayer, and I'm stretching my hips, I'm stretching my back, I'm stretching my body, and I'm praying all the prayers that I've learned to connect with in this program. I've never connected with other programs, other prayers that I've learned outside a program, in other religions. And these are the prayers that I've learned to connect with, that seem to call to me more, that seem to connect with me more. And so I say these prayers, and they have seemed to been fulfilling me throughout the day. Recently, in the beginning of the week, my niece from Texas has come to visit, and she's living with us right now on our couch. And so it kind of threw off my schedule, kind of threw off my rhythm. And so the past few mornings, I haven't been doing it. And I noticed that my cravings, my abstinence has been really tough. One of my big points of abstinence is to not eat at night. And I decided after 10, because I'm always up late after 10. And that's when I really want to eat. And it gets to the point where I'm an animal, I'm salivating, and I'm like trying to hold myself back, and I'm thinking about it, and that was how it was before, about 2 years ago, until about Monday came along. And then I stopped doing my prayer in the morning, and then I started getting these crazy, just outrageous, malicious cravings. And I was like, my gosh, like to the point where I couldn't take it. So I was go to, at nighttime, I serve myself some milk, drink some milk to try to get my mouth full of some kind of flavor just to kind of suffice me. And it was hard. It's been hard. And I thought, God, what the heck is happening to me? Shoot. And so I started to think back, well, what am I doing different? What's happening? And I thought, oh, I've been doing my prayers. I haven't been connecting to my higher power in the morning. And I thought, isn't that that can't be a coincidence. That cannot be a coincidence. And so I started up again yesterday with my prayers. And last night was a huge less of a struggle. It was the thoughts were coming in, but I was able to pray and throw them out the door. It wasn't as terrifying as the other days have been. The other days I was really close to calling my sponsor and
5 minutes remaining.
okay, I was really close to calling my sponsor and just telling her I'm about to cheat. I'm gonna say F it, and I need something in my mouth. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I need something to eat. I was ready to throw away. I've been abstinent from not eating for two for I mean for not eating after 10. It'll be 2 years November 5th. This in November 5th. Yeah, 2 years. So I was like, I don't want to throw all that away. It's a lot. Well, for me. And so, because I that's my biggest thing. That's the thing that got me, the heaviest. That's what, made me overweight. I always ate at night. That was my theme. So I'm starting my regimen up again. And it's like, okay, I don't want to lose that. And I always hear, chase, run, like chase after your abstinence, the way you chased after that food, the way you chased after your addiction, the ways you chased after that, And so it's like, okay, I want to do that because right now I'm in the position where I'm in a very comfortable space in my life, physically and processing and progressing towards mentally too. I'm 40 pounds down. I'm 40 pounds down. I'm comfortable with my spiritual connection with God. Can it be stronger? Of course. But I'm comfortable with where my relationship is going with my higher power. I finally know where and who my higher power is, and the relationship I have with my higher power, and I owe it all to OA and all to the members of OA, to all of you. I mean, listening to your pitches every time I come into the meetings, and relating and seeing your, the effects that this disease has on you guys, and relating and understanding and beginning to just to camaraderie and it's been so life-saving for me. And I just want to thank you all for it, and thank you for letting me share. Okay. Now, we will now have the Treasure Report and Seventh Tradition. Hi, Cindy, compulsive operator.
Hi,
I see you.
Cindy.
Hello. OA is self-supporting your own contributions. We neither solicit nor accept outside donations. As we've passed the basket in the room and the virtual baskets, please keep in mind Seventh Tradition donations help carry the message of recovery. After the monthly rent of 50 is met, remaining funds are distributed 50% to the inner group, 40% to World Service, and 10% to Region 2. The Saturday morning meeting maintains a prudent reserve of $100. You can contribute online at oaskivvy.org. When donating, please specify Saturday 8:15 attitude adjustment meeting, and our ID number is 23784. If it's convenient, the option to set up recurring donations is also available, and there are links to contribute to World Service in Region 2. I'm going to ask the online host to put a link to oaskivvy.org in the chat so online donations can be made. Checks can also be dropped off or mailed to Skivvy, 1157 East Arrow Highway, Suite 4, Glendora, California, 91740. And please indicate again the meeting day, time, and the ID number 23784 with your donation. If you are unable to contribute, please keep coming back. And thank you for letting me be of service. Okay, now time for the
thank you, Sharon. First of all, thank you, Victoria.
Victoria.
Did you come all the way from Rancho?
Ontario.
Ontario. That's a drive. Thank you for making the drive. It's so nice to have people in person. Hi, my name is Terry. I'm a compulsive eater and your secretary for this meeting.
Terry. Hey, Terry.
Thank you all for everyone who gave service. Our great speaker, Victoria. Let's see, Lynn online helping us with the Zoom. Trisha in the room helping us with the display on Zoom. Cindy is our treasurer. Cheryl is our speaker getter. Georgia is our literature person who also read the traditions. Cindy read the traditions, and Susan's our intergroup ref. Are you going to give a report next week, Susan? Okay, this week.
No, I can do this week. Yeah.
Are you going to do it this week?
Yeah, because we've had,
The board meeting
schedule.
messed up. Okay. Hold on 1 minute, and I will say, come on down, just like Bob Blackford. Okay, so upcoming events on November 1st here in the room. What's the time, Jenny?
1 to 4.
1 to 4, we're going to be having a movie and discussion event. This, as I understand it, the guy who made this movie is a fellow in OA. And I've watched it. It's a really interesting movie to come and talk about, very close to our close to our hearts in this fellowship. All right, Susan, can you come on down and give the intergroup report?
Okay, my name is Susan. I'm an over-eater, anorexic, bulimic, and I
Free
see
food
food junkie.
junkie.
This job I thought was going to be so easy because I've been doing it for a long time. But since I've been doing this job, I don't think there's been 1 month that I've been actually prepared for it. So I will, if there's something I've left out that was important, I'll bring up next week. But we had, I think, 7, 8 people. We had like 4 in the room and or maybe 5 in the room and 3 on Zoom. And so we had a good turnout and it was less than an hour. Some people used to complain that they took 2 hours to do it, but it was less than an hour. And oh, let's see. The big thing would be the for this meeting we get a report, a treasurer's report at the board meeting. And for this meeting we had our rent paid in September. We had a seventh tradition of $54 and the total was $104, but over time we have had $1,938 and change. So this is a very generous meeting. So thank you for your contributions. But we still are in the red, enough so that we our prudent reserve is down. And when it's below 5,000, we have a fee from the bank of $16. So we're trying to work at getting that back up to be our prudent reserve being 5,000. And the forgiveness workshop was a good success. It brought in $331, but the boutique also brought in $886. That wasn't included, but that was a good boast, a boost. And with the next events in the upcoming months, we're making a lot of strides to correct that prudent reserve. There are a lot of openings still on the board. And I think, did you say that this month is the month we elect or nominate? And then next month we elect. But we have so few to choose from. If you want to do any job, I'm sure it would be just a I'm sure you'd get it. So we have the vice chair is still open, facilities manager, and Zoom host. That's probably one of the most important position, and I know everyone's doing the most, doing the best they can with what they have. They're all, everybody's doing a couple jobs, but that Zoom host is real important. And I'm doing the literature, but I'm only stepping in until somebody else wants to do it. And what was interesting, our sales tax is due at the end of this month. So I took a look at over the past year. We probably have $45, maybe $46 in sales tax to build up, which meant we sold over $480 worth of literature last year. I don't know how that happened because I don't, it didn't come at once, but over time we sold a lot of literature. And we don't do sales tax on literature that hasn't been sold, only on literature that has been sold. And you don't pay for it if you get a book. You only pay for the actual cost and the shipping cost, which is 15%, which is more than sales tax. But that's how the literature works. The 12 steps within.